All right. Good morning. I'm so moved and so stirred by the presence of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. And so let's just open with prayer. We're continuing our soul care series this week. And so, Father, we thank you for the power of your presence this morning. Lord, we know that when we're in your presence, we're changed. We know our situations change. Lord, we believe by faith, not by what we see, but because you are faithful and your word is true. So, Lord, thank you today as we study today together. Holy Spirit, minister to each one of our hearts, renew our minds. Lord, I pray for all those that will listen on the internet and as the message goes forward, Lord, into the earth realm, into the airwaves. We thank you, Lord, that it reaches the ears, the hearts, God, that you have assigned to hear this word today. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen, amen, amen. If you need a message outline, raise your hand. There is a message outline. All right. We have some ushers ready to serve those. Just keep your hands up high. Elder Ron will serve you this morning. I'd like to open up with a thought the Lord gave me this morning. Our Christian life is one in which we operate with spiritual courage and a determination in our soul to live our lives in this earth to honor Jesus Christ our Lord. May God's kingdom come and his will be done today. Elder Ron, Cindy has her hand up. Somebody have a message outline? Thank you. Can we start the PowerPoint, please? Every living soul belongs to me. What's next? Learning to possess your soul. So let's keep going. I'm looking for James 1, 2 through 4. Alrighty. Consider it all joy. Can we say that? Consider it all joy. James 1, 2 through 4. Let's read it loud together. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We have been talking about learning to possess our souls, and the scripture tells us, in patience, possess ye your souls. So the testing of your faith, the tests, the trials that come into our lives is what produces patience. So it's through that testing that we're able to learn patience to possess our soul. Our attitude has to be, Lord, I'll continue to serve you no matter how difficult things get. Amen. No matter what it looks like in the natural, God, I am going to trust you because your word is true. And I was thinking last week about Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, when they sinned, they left a realm of dominion. The Lord gave them dominion over everything. Do you remember that? It's back in Genesis chapter 3. He gave them dominion over everything. When they fell from a realm of faith and revelation into a realm of logic and facts. And so we were looking at the graphs this morning, and if you look at those with logic and facts, then you would begin to stress. But we're not stressing because we operate in dominion in a realm of revelation and faith in God. Because we call the things that are not as though they are. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That principle works because God established it, and it's eternal in the heavens. And give the Lord a praise. He is awesome. He is awesome. So, next slide, please. Yes. It's the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience will produce a perfect and a complete work on the inside of us. Perfect means complete when you read that in the scripture. No one is perfect. Hallelujah. Right? All right. Did anyone live perfect this week? Oh, yeah. Okay. But it's going to produce this complete work in us. In other words, it's going to mature us. When you're a child, you can't handle as much as an adult can. Is that correct? The older you get, the more you can handle as far as responsibilities go. The greater your character is developed on the inside of you, the more you can handle. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So in our scripture, it says, the very last line of the scripture we just read was that it's going to make us perfect, lacking nothing. And we're going to take a look at the next scripture on lacking nothing. When you read on, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that's the one thing we could be missing. Without wisdom, it's really difficult to function in this world. Yes. It's difficult to make decisions.
Yes.
And sometimes you think you're just not smart enough or you can't figure that out. But you know, you have a Heavenly Father that knows everything.
Yes.
You have a Holy Spirit that is your teacher. God surrounds you with people who have the counsel of God. And with the trust in the Lord, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Sometimes in the midst of our stressing and our worrying and our souls going crazy, we don't think to ask God for the wisdom that we need to make it through this test, this trial, this sickness, whatever's going on in our life, God has wisdom for. So it says, let him ask of God who gives to all. Say all. And he doesn't give us just a little bit. The scripture says he gives us liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. First, we have to ask. And let him ask in faith. There's that word again. Faith is what we operate on in the kingdom of God. It's not what we see. It is the unseen. It isn't the temporal, but it is the eternal. Amen. Say eternal. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. And so do you see why it is important to learn to possess your soul? Because in the midst of everything, you have this wrestling that goes on. You believe it and then you doubt it. You believe it and then you doubt it. You decree it and then you speak against it. This is the year, the decade of the pay. That is the spoken word. So it is speaking God's word. And God performs his word when it is sent out. But we have to watch our mouth that we don't negate that word about 5 minutes after we just sent it out. Come on. We've got to speak what God says without doubt. Doubt is an interesting word. I did my PhD on the study of scrupulosity, which is the doubting disease, which I believe is at the root of every emotional problem in our soul. And at the root of not receiving the blessing and the promises of God, because the scripture very clearly says that the children of Israel did not receive God's promise because of doubt and unbelief. And so they were going back and forth. You know, they could have avoided the whole wilderness journey, but they doubted. They did not believe the good report because only two people were sharing it and the rest had a negative report. I'm telling you, this week God's really spoke to me about believing what the Lord says after I read the facts. I've always been this way. I didn't care if my preacher taught it. I don't care if Bishop teaches it. I'm going to go back to the Word of God and I'm going to study it. And I've been this way since I was like in fifth grade. You teach me something, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to study it for myself to see if it is true. And that is scriptural. That is scriptural for us to take our Bibles and to study it for ourselves. Don't believe everything that you hear preach on TV or on the radio. It sounds really, really good, but that does not mean that it lines up with the Word of God and the truth of God. And so this week, you know, there's so much chatter going on in the media. And the media is the prophets of Baal. They are just barking, barking, barking. And they're constantly bombarding you, and they all, doesn't matter what news channel you tune into, they use the same phrases, they say the same thing over and over again, because they want naive people to believe it. And unfortunately, naive people will believe it if they don't go and search out the truth for themselves. God gave us a brain and the ability to think, and the intellect and the wisdom from above to figure out what we need to know. I don't need somebody telling me. I will go and I will read the facts. And I will pray and determine myself what is going on. It was interesting because my brother Ed, we were talking and he said, I never listen to those news broadcast. I always read it and decide for myself. He said, I'm an intelligent man. I don't need to have anybody put a spin on something and try to tell me what to believe. Then that's exactly what happens. And so what happens then, if we're not careful, we begin to move in this area of doubt and unbelief. You know, and the Word of God, what does the Word of God say about our governments? And what our responsibility is. It is to pray. It is not to jump on the bandwagon to bash our government and to tear it down. We live in the most wonderful, blessed nation on this earth. You know, the children of Israel had that opportunity to go into the promised land. But because they doubted and because they had unbelief, all they did was complain. They were a bunch of complainers. Have you heard a bunch of complainers on the media lately? So when you start complaining, it's usually a pretty good sign you have moved into the doubt and unbelief category. Uh-oh. Yeah, Apostle Leonard says, the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness before. How did you feel when you came out of the wilderness? It was a song we used to sing. Boy, you come out of that wilderness rejoicing and grabbing a hold of the promises of God with everything you have. And that's how we possess our soul. If we lack wisdom, we ask. God gives it to us, and then we must believe it and walk it out regardless of how it looks. If God has told us to do it, we're going to do it. Regardless of how it looks. One person might show up. I've always said one is enough. Maybe you're just supposed to minister to that one that day. We trust God. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus prayed and obeyed. We possess our souls by praying and obeying. If Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered, how do you think we're going to learn it? He did everything he saw and heard the Father do. And that's what the Lord has spoke to each one of us in the scripture. It is our responsibility to have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And we are to be so in tune that we do what the Father does and we say what the Father says. That close with God. Can we get there? Sometimes you feel like it's miles apart. But you know what? I believe we can get there because Jesus Christ made the way for us to come to the Father. It's a blood-bought way. It's through the blood of Jesus that we can come to the throne of grace. He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. My God, that's who he is. And so that testimony burns on the inside of us to share with the people that we meet. To share with them about the power and the love that God has for them. Hallelujah. In the midst of everything that's going on, the Lord is teaching us how to rest in the wrestling. And many of you know that's been my topic for over 20 years. And I've got a book in the making, but I still haven't gotten all the chapters done. They're done. They're just not written. In book form, you know. But in the midst of everything, see, our soul needs to find a place of rest in God. And the only way we're going to be able to rest if we are able to possess our soul. So that it's not running wild like a wild child. Ever seen a wild child out in the grocery store, out in the mall? You know, our souls can run just that wild. Hallelujah. So we possess it with patience. But God is teaching us that. Is there another slide? Satan uses psychological warfare. So we're going to go through this section on, once again, we're back to consider it all joy, count it all joy, in the midst of Satan's psychological warfare. You know, terrorists use psychological warfare. They threaten. Bullies, they threaten. The media, he said it, they use psychological warfare. It's what it is. Satan is after our minds. Because that, you know, our souls are that pivotal point, and it's the determining factor. The Spirit of God's in us. He is speaking to us. Our soul is talking. Our fleshly desires. The world is talking. There's a whole lot going on around us. And so, as we focus in, we want to know that Satan uses psychological tactics to destroy his opponent's morale. Beat you down till you give up. Talk you down till you give up. Talk you down till you are vulnerable to believe a lie. In Daniel, the scripture says, and he, the Antichrist, shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and plot to change times and laws. to wear out is mental fatigue. I confess to you and the world, I had impeachment fatigue this week. It's a real thing. Thank God the vote is over. And both the House and the Senate can get back to work. Hallelujah. And focus on the real deal of what our country needs and the people in our country. And honestly, in the midst of everything, President Trump has continued to work and continued to accomplish so much to keep his promises that he made to the people. He has. And if you don't believe that because you've been listening to the media, then you need to go read for yourself all of the accomplishments that have come to pass in the midst of all this opposition. If God is not for him, then I'm not sure how he gets all of this done. Because it has got to be a supernatural strength of God that he can battle through that. Nobody knows the opposition until you would stand in that office and the principalities and the powers over this nation come against you and use people like puppets and pawns to torment you and to oppose, and remember this, opposing the agenda of God. It's God's agenda. We haven't had a president in years that was pro-choice, pro-Israel, and pro-America. America first. So the devil's trying to wear us out, and he's not. Say he's not. You know, this last week when I've been praying, I've been going into this warring tongues. I don't know where it comes from. It's a good thing nobody's close or can hear me because they might call, you know, for them to come take me and put one of those straitjackets on me. But I've shifted into this prayer language that I believe is warring in the heavenlies to establish God's government in the earth. So if that happens to you, don't be afraid. Push into it and let God use you because God is establishing his kingdom. And when we pray in tongues, we're praying the governmental language of the kingdom of God and praying a perfect prayer to bring things into alignment. And that's what we're called to do, church. That's who we are. We are an apostolic prophetic church, and we are called to establish what God says in the heavens here on the earth. And each one of you have that anointing and that responsibility wherever you are. Hallelujah. We won't let the devil wear us out. No, 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 no. We win. And the psalmist David, he was a warrior. Next slide. He was a warrior, and in Psalm 31, we find him in distress and praying for deliverance because of his persecution with Saul. And so as you read through that, you get to this place where he begins to proclaim God's goodness. Distress is difficulties. It's once again, it's a distress in a psychological sense. David was being pursued by Saul and being pushed down and threatened and his life constantly threatened. And where did he have to go but to the Lord? You know, he needed the wisdom of God to be able to just maneuver through life. Well, so do we. So do we. That's why God said, ask for the wisdom. And I'm going to give it to you. So let's take a look at this verse. Let's read it together. And I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have seen my affliction. You have known the distresses in my soul and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. So David said, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. Is there another slide? I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. And the Hebrew word for glad, take a look at this, means to spin around with violent emotion, to rejoice, be glad, joy, be joyful, rejoice. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, in your kindness. God is so kind to us. David was acknowledging his kindness for delivering him out of the hand of King Saul. The second thing he did in this verse, David rejoiced because God noticed the trouble he was in, and with tender concern, he relieved him. God notices the trouble that we're in. He knows when we are under financial strain. He knows when sickness and disease has taken our strength. God knows when our heart is sick because our children are not serving God. God knows. God knows. He knows. And David said, I'm so glad you noticed the trouble I was in. I'm so glad you didn't overlook me. You know, sometimes we think, well, I won't bother God with this. What? God is already bothered with it. Like he doesn't know about it. The best thing to do is to talk to him about it. The third thing he did in this passage was he was so thankful that God rescued him out of the hands of Saul and set him in a broad place. And there's supposed to be an L in that. A broad place, the scripture says. A broad place is enlargement. David was rejoicing because God enlarged him in the midst of his trouble and difficulty. And in the end, when he was delivered out of them, he was in a better place, in a larger place, to receive and to function with the power and the authority that God gave him. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you've seen some trouble, you've seen some difficulties, you've had some heartaches, but God is delivering you into a broad place in the midst of all of that. If you will continue to trust in him and rejoice in him. David spun violently with emotion. It wasn't a little rejoicing. It was a great rejoicing because he knew how great his deliverance was. Hallelujah. God is delivering us into a broad place in the midst of everything that's going on. So David chose to rejoice in God's mercy. And that's what we do. Because we consider it, next slide, we consider it all joy. You can go one more. I think it should be there. Yes, consider it all joy. Hallelujah. So let's all stand this morning because God is delivering us into a broader place. And down at Christian International, they do an activation every year. And what the activation is, we reach behind us and grab a hold of our past. And we reach ahead to grab a hold of our future. And we're going to make a declaration to bring the past, what God has ordained, into our future. And so when we do the activation, we'll do it together because we are leaving the past behind that doesn't need to be in our lives anymore. It's not meant to come into this season. But there are certain things God has established in your life that he is continuing to build on that are eternal that we want to pull into the present. Does everyone understand what we're doing? Okay, so just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I take a hold of my past and the things that are not of you must stay in the past. I decree and declare that all that you established in my past for your glory, for this season of my life, I bring into the future. And let's pull the past and bring it up to our future. I decree that I will walk in truth, that I will live by faith, and I will live for Jesus Christ, and I will establish your kingdom in my life, and everywhere I go, I take the good news of what you've done for me and the gospel of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice, Lord. We rejoice, Lord. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to call praise team to come on up. And as they're coming, God has taken us into a broader place. And church, I want you to remember, where much is given, much is required. And that's a principle that works in our lives. Where much is given, much is required. And for those who are faithful in a little, God will give you more. Yes. See, God's not going to trust you with $200,000 if you can't even handle the $20 bill that's in your wallet right now. And I often think about this. People want their own house, but won't even take care of their apartment.
Right.
We want God to give us more, so we look beyond where we are and ignore responsibilities. But God wants to take us into a broader place and understanding that we'll be good stewards with what we have.
Right.
Faithful in the little. And God's desire is always to increase. Satan's desire is always to take from you. God's a God of addition. A God of addition. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. So as we learn to possess our soul in every situation, stewardship over what God has given us to care for is at the top. Hallelujah. You know there's more scriptures about laziness in the Bible than being drunk. Laziness. God didn't call you to be lazy. He didn't call you to be the energetic bunny either. He didn't call you to measure yourself against what someone else is doing. He called you to be you.
Right.
To accomplish what he's given you.
Right.
For you to take care of what he's given to you.
Right.
So Father, heal our minds from comparing ourselves to other people.
Right.
And what they're doing and what they have. And Lord, help us to be good stewards of what you've blessed us with right now. Lord, because we know there is increase that you have for each one of your children. Because you're a good, good father. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let the Lord work on you every day.
Amen.
It's the only day you have. Right? No promise of tomorrow. So we want to do everything we can today to honor God, to love and cherish those around us, love and cherish those around us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.